everyone. This is Martin Zender. My cohort, Dan Sheridan, is not here today, and I apologize for that. He is in Chicago covering the election. So his boss told him that he wants him to record the face of Barack Obama when the election returns come in. He's assuming that Obama is going to lose tomorrow, and I know Obama's going to lose. I know that Romney's going to win because the Washington Redskins lost their home game today. That's the determiner of elections. I guess that's 1930 or something. If the Redskins have a home game, I think this is how it is. If the Redskins have a home game on the Sunday before the election and they win, that means the incumbent is going to remain president. However, if the Redskins lose, then that's guarantee for the challenger. And Romney's the challenger. So the Redskins lost today to the Carolina Panthers. Therefore, Romney is going to win. But you know what? I'm at the point where I don't really care. I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with this entire eon. So if I'm fed up with this entire eon, oh, by the way, Dan Sheridan's going to be back probably on Thursday. The sound is incredibly good right now because I'm recording directly into a microphone, but I guarantee you that the sound will be its usual crappy self on Thursday when Dan Sheridan is back on board. You see, we have to talk over the phone. I'm talking to you directly into a microphone, so don't get used to this. I'm tired of this eon in general. This is not my eon. You've seen my coffee mugs and my t-shirt. I'm going to get a bumper sticker made. This is not my eon. I don't belong in this eon. So if it's not my eon, then it's not my election either. It's true, my flesh wants Romney because I hate big government. And everybody says, well, there's no difference. Romney's going to have big government too, but it's going to be less bigger. All right? I like what, who's that rock and roll guy that's the big-time conservative? Yeah, the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent. Yeah, he says, I know the whole world sucks, but America sucks less. All right, that's kind of the way I look at it. All politics suck, but conservatism sucks less. Philippians 3:20, let's go to some scripture this morning. For our realm is inherent in the heavens, out of which we are awaiting a Savior also, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transfigure the body of our humiliation to conform it to the body of His glory in accord with the operation which enables Him even to subject all to Himself. Did you get all that? Let's start with the first part. Our realm is inherent in the heavens. It inheres there. We were chosen before the disruption of the world to be members of the body of Christ. We were foreknown. We're going to be seated. Because of this foreknown call, this membership in the body of Christ, we are going to be seated with Christ among the celestials in the eras to come, the eon to come. That's where we belong. Our realm is inherent there. As I like to say, we are not earthly beings having heavenly experiences here on earth. We are heavenly beings having earthly experiences. I am just passing through here. And the faster I pass through, the better. I'm getting really tired of this. I just told somebody today, the Apostle Paul expected the snatching away to occur in his lifetime. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, we the living who are surviving to the presence of the Lord. We the living. He expected to be in that company. Now, by the time 2 Timothy rolls around, Paul kind of figures he's going to go the way of humanity. He's ready to face the axe in Rome, so he figures, I'm not going to make the snatching away. But if you had visited Paul in his jail cell in Rome and told him that the snatching away was going to be 20 more years, Paul would have said, there's no way it can go 20 more years from his position there in Rome. If you told him it was going to be 200 more years, he would have laughed. If a man on death row could possibly laugh, I don't know. Paul, maybe. If you had told him 2,000 years would have passed, were going to pass until the snatching away, he would be incredulous. He wouldn't be laughing at that point. It would seem unfathomable to him. I was driving down the road the other day, and I'm just looking at the cars and the lights and the highway and the airplanes going overhead. If you had transported Paul from his era to this era, he would probably scream. His first reaction would be a primal scream. What am I doing here? How did I get here? Why is this planet still here? Why is this eon still going on? It would be absolutely dumbfounded. And then you'd show him a computer. and you show them how they now package raisins in boxes with little maids on the sun-made raisin girl on the raisin box. Wow, the progress we've made has been incredible. But again, Paul would wonder how we're all still here. So anyway, our realm is inherent, and this thing's close. I really do. I'm talking to other members of the body of Christ. Everybody is suffering. People are going through really inordinate trials. I love that word Paul used somewhere. I don't know. Read all of his letters. You'll find it. He says, we are pressed beyond measure. I think the Greek word there, the elements are inordinately, out of measure, ridiculously, stupid. You know? I know that there's supposed to be evil in this world, and I know it has a purpose, and I know about contrast. I've taught about it for 20 years now. But come on! Do we really need this much? I know. First question I'm going to ask God, really? Did it really take that much evil? But actually, no, I won't be saying that to God then, because then I'll be understanding it. Okay, I see why all that evil had to come, but it's now that I'm thinking this is way too much. I've often taught that evil now, you're to buy evil now and to trade it for transcendently transcendent aeonian burden of glory. It's very cheap stock right now. Evil is very steep chalk. It's cheap stock. What is it? Oh, cheap stock? No. Stock, cheap stock, yeah. It's like buying Microsoft at 5 cents a share back when nobody knew about it. Evil is going to eventuate, especially suffering evil for the evangel, is going to eventuate in a transcendent aeonian burden of glory. In other words, the glory is far out of proportion to the evil. That's what I'm trying to say. I finally said it. The glory is far out of proportion. So the suffering stock is cheap right now. And I've preached this for years, but now I'm actually buying it up and I hate it. And I said, okay, I don't want to buy any more stock, but I keep getting the stock. So I'm going, well, all right, I can't wait for the transcendent aeonian burden of glory. Leave it to Paul to call the afflictions light. He calls them light. The lightness of our afflictions are working for us a transcendently transcendent burden of glory. I think that's around 2 Corinthians 4:7. If it's not, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So my realm's inherent in the heavens, and so I don't belong here. You know, I've had a recurring dream. I got to tell you about this. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but I used to have this dream that I was in an airliner, and I'm at the airport. I get on a jet, and we're taxiing down the taxiway, heading for the runway. And you know how it is. Those things like to just rumble. They squeak, and you get this crazy feeling that, you know, this is a freaking machine. This isn't some miracle. You know, I'm in a man-made tube. And I asked my friend who's a pilot one time, I said, would it be a good thing if you were in the air, like one of the wings fell off? He said, no, that really wouldn't be a good thing. Apparently an airplane can survive on one engine, but according to my friend, they can't survive with one wing. I just thought I'd ask him for general knowledge because I've sat on the wing before. Well, not literally on the wing, but I've sat in a seat that had a window overlooking the wing, and I look at those rivets holding the wing to the fuselage, and I'm going, those don't look too secure. And I wonder what happened if a wing popped up. Well, that wouldn't fare well. If that happened to me, the first thing I would do was I'd order a bottle of wine, and I would probably splurge and get one of those snack packs. And if I had a subway and I had, you know, just packed half of it away, if I got a 12-foot sub and I packed half of it away and the plane started to plummet into a death spiral, I'm pretty sure I would eat the rest of my sub. That's the first thing I would do. I would be so calm. If I'm ever in a plane crash, I don't want anybody in my audience to think that, oh, poor Zender, he was probably just screaming and mourning the departure of this life, and oh, what sweet sorrow. No, Zender will be eating the rest of his sub, or he will be ordering wine while everybody else is floating around in zero gravity, screaming. I will be unwrapping my sub and drinking wine. That'd be even better. So I had this recurring dream that I'm going down the runway, and I'm going down the taxiway in this squeaky, rumbly aircraft, because it's not meant to beyond the taxiway. It's very cumbersome because it was designed for the air. But in my dream, this thing, instead of turning to go down the runway, it keeps going and it actually turns on the highway. It goes over the grass and it ends up on the highway. And I'm on this plane going down Third Street. And this airliner is like stopping at stoplights, four-way stops, putting the turn signal on. I go, holy crap. It's like if I'm in Pittsburgh and I'm going to fly to New York, I'm like, we're going to drive to New York in an airliner. But that's how I feel in this body. I'm not meant to be here. Like the airliner, it creaks and groans on the ground but once it gets into the air, then it's a thing of beauty. It's a thing of beauty. I'm always amazed at how you can travel at 500 miles an hour, drink a glass of wine, eat a sub, assuming you have both wings on the airplane, and you're just sitting there, dum-da-dum-da-dum. To me, it's a miracle. That's what it was designed to do. An airliner was designed to fly. But when it's on the ground driving around, it's like, this is ridiculous, creaking and groaning. What is this thing? But, you get it in the air, and you're good to go. That's me. That's us. I'm designed to be in the air. And when I'm on this planet, I'm creaking, I'm groaning, I'm complaining, I'm bitching, and it's like, this isn't my realm. And this Philippians 3:20 answers it. My realm is not inherent here. The airliner's realm is not on Third Street, turning right at Bedford Street. Okay, that's not what it was meant to do. Hey, yeah, I remember this in my dream. I'm worried that the wings are going to clip the telephone poles and the trees. We're going under trees and everything. Man, but when that thing hits the air, that's where it's meant to be. And we are meant to be in the air. We're not meant to be here. That's why you feel so out of place. That's why you can't wait to get out of here. You know, some people are actually comfortable here. Some people like this world, you know? They get their slippers on and their bathrobe and their pipes and their newspapers, and things are going pretty well for them. They let their dog out, and the dog craps where it's supposed to. And I don't know, things go well for people sometimes. I can't understand how that happens, but apparently it does. I had about 500 verses I needed to get to today, but I didn't. On tomorrow's election day, we still don't know the results, but you don't need to worry about that. I already gave you the results. Romney's going to win because Redskins lost. This is Martin Zender. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be right back.